For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
What you got there, Dusty?
What do I got?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. This is my Friday, though. I'll tell you that much. I got my big... I'm excited about this. Member guest? This weekend starts tomorrow.
You know I love when you do member guest. It's a good thing.
It's once a year, man.
You and Big Brother get to have some fun together. So I do love that. You gloat about days being your Friday more than anybody else at the station, though.
Okay.
I'm very humble about my vacations. I don't shove it in your face.
Show your work.
I believe I can show you the last 2 years. Outside of Jamaica, I did talk.
Can we go a show without Nick talking about the cabin boys?
I did. Well, no, that's me talking about my friends.
Excuse me. Talking about the cabin?
That's my blood. How many times do I reference the cabin on a daily basis?
Because you go there and it's your getaway.
Yeah, but I'm not like, hey, Dustin, I'm going to the cabin and you're not.
You did.
He once told us he would never like move there, though. Like he would never like try to make it a case that he would never go to a cabin. But he goes to a cabin every year.
Wait, what do you mean I wouldn't move to a cabin?
We talked about places you would move.
I don't remember that. Because there's a spot in Chandlersville, Ohio that somebody that I'm not a fan of used to live at, but they lived at the very top of a hill. If I could buy their old house and burn it down, which serves a double purpose, I would enjoy to burn their old house down, and then build the perfect cabin on it, that might be the case that I would live in a cabin. But no, my point is, you slippery wizard me there. That was very good
of
you. That you just turned it around, and then you brought Keith in.
Watch out for Keith.
I am happy that it is your Friday, even though I'll miss you while you're at member guest.
It's the weekend of the year for me that I look forward to. My brother and I, even though we live close to each other, we don't really see each other that often because he's very busy and I'm busy and we got families and all that stuff. So we spend 3 days together, and it's awesome.
I'm very excited for that. Also, so I brought in some fast food for lunch because your boy had a busy morning today, was kind of getting the old house done, all this kind of stuff. Anyway, to which Meredith said, they have those in Ohio? And if I told you the specific fast food joint, we don't do free promotions here on the air. That's not the kind of station we are. If I told you the fast food restaurant that she said they have those in Ohio, I think everybody would wonder what planet she's from. This would be equivalent to like, oh, hey, I just shopped at Aldi's. Oh, they have those in Ohio? What, they got a Dollar Gin around your place? No, me, never. And while we're on the topic of football being back. What?
Have you heard of this place called McDonald's?
Yeah.
They have those in Ohio?
So it's not quite that level. But it was enough.
Almost.
It was enough that everybody in the studio said, you need to get out of Lakewood a little bit more. Like, we need you to...
Yeah, she's still living in COVID? Does she leave the house?
I mean, I think she leaves... I mean, I see her right now, so she has to leave the house, but...
Maybe she lives here.
And this is the one, like... That's the one! This is the one fast food joint I'm cool with you, like, making an exception for.
It's not fast food.
Yeah, no, it's fast. And it's
fast,
delicious.
And it's, I do not consider it fast food.
I correct. I don't know what there's.
Language is hard?
It is very hard. Also, in the name of football returning, have you seen this Jim Harbaugh quote?
Nope, but I want to.
Jim Harbaugh, after day one of camp, feels like New Year's Day, feels like being born. It was like coming out of the womb. What are we doing there, Jim? I'll be honest, I'm so jealous of the LA media. Can you imagine Jim Harbaugh, if the Browns had ever pulled off that trade for Harbaugh in, 13 or 14?
Who is it that said he remembers being born? Terrence Howard?
Yes.
Is Harbaugh going full Howard?
I think he's going full Howard. I think that's exactly. there's no drug strong enough for you to remember being born, just so we're clear. Right? There's no, I guarantee you, When any one of us tries ayahuasca, we're not going to be like, oh, hey, Yeah, I saw the doc. Yeah, slapped me on the ass. What an a-hole.
Here comes the baby.
Were you born in Australia? Ah, crikey. What you going to name him?
Auckland.
On Browns News, Nick Chubb and Jack Conklin amongst the players on PUP, that will start training camp on PUP. So that is a little bit of news to kind of start your day. As tomorrow, the Browns will be in West Virginia at the Greenbrier, officially getting training camp underway. I don't think either one of those or DeAnthony Bell, there's a couple other guys, unless I don't think really any of those guys surprised us.
No. It's so weird that we're training camp begins tomorrow.
I think I'm kind of...
It's so weird.
I'm kind of there, though.
Yeah? How so?
Yeah, I think that we've talked about it enough that it's now normalized in my head. Like, when we started talking about it, like, last week. Well, okay, actually, every week we've made some reference to training camps 3 weeks away, training camps 2 weeks away, training camps a week away. Last week, probably about Thursday or Friday, I was reading one of our 75 scripts here, and I threw out, next Thursday, the Browns head to West Virginia, and that's probably the first time it started sinking in. So now that we're almost a full week from that, it makes sense that it's normalized in my head,
mm-hmm.
and that I think we're in the it's kind of best of both worlds. Football's backed, meaning we get to hear from players, coaches, what have you. We have storylines, Amari Cooper signing, CeeDee Lamb not reporting to camp, not going to report till he gets a new contract, Jordan Love and that contract situation.
You're like the ticker.
I really am. That's what I'm doing here. I'm just, it's like we're throwback to when I was the worst 2020 anchor on the station.
You're very handsy.
That's, everybody knows, Nick Wilson is very handsy.
They said that since day one.
Yeah.
Nick, you got those big hands and...
The meat hooks, if you will. But, I'm not surprised that Nick Chubb is on the PUP, nor Jack Conklin. And just a little clarification here, coming from Daryl Ryder's Twitter yesterday, when there was nobody on the PUP list, Nick Chubb was the guy to watch out for. It's so funny. I know that we're going to overreact to September football. I know we will. We do it every year. I'm not concerned if Nick Chubb doesn't see the field in September. And I'm not really concerned if Jack Conklin doesn't see the field till September. I think Nick will be and will continue to be one of the more important Browns from the win losses. From the running backs of the NFL, I think Nick Chubb has a significant amount of impact on wins and losses, because I think he's the kind of player that opposing defensive players don't want to have to face off against. And I think that brings a psychological advantage on top of the fact he's an elite running back when healthy. But if we don't see him until mid-October, to me, this is one of those injuries where I'm okay with waiting a little bit longer if it means that when he comes back, it gives him a better chance to be all the way back.
Yeah, I'm not concerned at all about how much time Nick Chubb takes right now, how much time he needs to get himself back to being 100%, because you're right. When he does get back out there, there's a lot of guys that are going to look across the line of scrimmage and see him in the backfield and not want to have anything to do with him.
You know what's wild about this? So Nick had a comment at some point in the last couple of days. It actually might have been earlier this week, where he said, "This is the first time in my career that I feel like I'm behind because I'm not just focusing on getting, ready for camp. I'm getting healthy." And I saw a lot of Browns fans react to that. And it was Browns Twitter that I saw it mostly from. And I was like, is this a story? Think about it. Like, Nick has had injuries before, and I know that, there was the knee injury at Georgia, and that actually is a big thing that complicated his trade value, despite the fact the dude was a beast at Georgia. But, I think it's only logical that this would be a little – this is a new experience for him, because he's come into camp healthy every single year. And this is the first time where – he's not where I don't think he's saying behind where everybody else is.
Right.
I think he's saying this is the first time I'm not where I am at this point, and that's a new experience. Like, how could that not be unnerving when you're used to being this machine that just every year, like clockwork, oh, I know where I have to be on July 24th.
No, I understand that, but he's going to have to get used to that because as you start to age as a football player, like, things get to be a lot tougher on your body, and that's kind of where he's at. He again, he's coming off an injury here, so that's kind of a different deal, but you know, you get up into your later 20s, it's going to be a challenge every single year to be ready for training camp and ready to go.
So we're going to have more on this news, but again, the Browns starting with Nick Chubb and Jack Conklin, amongst others, on the PUP list. Greg Newsom is on the non-football injury list with apparently a hamstring injury. That one bears a little bit of watching because I didn't...
Hamstrings this time of year, you definitely are a little bit concerned about.
Yeah, and the fact that it's a non-football injury, wonder how did he get this? And, you know, it's just something to kind of keep an eye on. And speaking of keeping an eye on things, has the ball that John Kenzie Noel smacked last night, has that landed yet? Did you see that thing?
I did not.
I'll be honest with you. I don't know if this dude's going to be able to keep the plate discipline he's had this year at AAA and now in the big leagues. I don't know if he's an everyday player, but I just want to watch this guy hit balls far. It's amazing. Like last night, and again, I still don't think he got every bit of it, but he hit this towering blast, and it went like, it almost went out of the ballpark. That's how hard he hit it. And I just got to say, I love watching that guy hit baseballs. And then Hosey got in, Quan got in earlier. The Guardians got the win. Do you feel a sense of relief?
It was nice to get the dub because every time they, you know, seemed to get out in front, they battle right back. And I thought it was going to come down to the end there. And thankfully, they were able to hold them off.
Yeah, that felt like a game that if – I actually think it's because we got to get to – I have been misquoted again by Anthony Lima. Other people might not care about trying to nail Jello to the wall. I'm going to attempt to do that at some point in this hour. I was misattributed again by Lima, but last night was a big win. And it's so funny. Like, there's two at this time of year. There are two opinions in baseball. There's either all is well and no game really matters, and we should just be here to enjoy baseball. Or our hair is on fire and this team is going to lose and this team is, it's panic. And so I look at last night, and if you lost last night, people would be absolutely panicking today. I had said yesterday that it felt like there was something riding on last night. And it felt like that this team took Monday's loss very, very hard. So it's apparent the team cares, and it's apparent I think fans were starting to get super agitated. And so if it was going to be a big loss, I think we can use just kind of basic properties to say it was a big win by the Guardians last night. We're talking about the Gardos win last night, and I'm going to preface this by saying that I got a text at about 6:15 today that Lima was saying that I had said last night's game was a must-win game. Now, that is not entirely what I said. I thought last night's game was really important. And so how about that? You know what? Instead of, I'm not going to set up my own clip. What we're going to do is we're going to play what Lima originally said on the morning show today, reacting to last night's Guardians win.
Yesterday, the afternoon show was talking about whether it was a must-win game. It is the best first 100-game start for the Guardians since 1999. And yet, I'm hearing people at the station, and I'm hearing people yesterday say it was a must-win game. And I'm just like, man, you guys realize there's a lot more games left.
And also, it's July 23rd.
That was not a must-win game last night. They could have lost four in a row. The season doesn't end. I get that the players were relieved. That's awesome. As a fan, I'm not calling any of these must-win games.
Must-win games do not exist in July in baseball. They don't.
So, with that, here's what I actually said yesterday on the show. If they take the next three games, guys, we should all stand down. If they take two of the next three games, okay, you salvage this series. If you lose two of the next three games, or God forbid you get swept by Detroit, yeah, panic is probably right. Listen, we heard what Austin Hedges doesn't come out with a manifesto like he does last night if there isn't a little bit of concern in the Guardians clubhouse. Tonight is as close to a must-win game as it gets. on July 23rd. So I'll have you weigh in on this. Dustin, was I misattributed? Was I taken out of context by the Slippery Wizard earlier today?
I think they always take you out of context, number one. So I don't really expect it to have a lot of context. Yeah. I think that, like a lot of listeners, and this is okay because they're humans.
Mm-hmm.
You hear what you want to hear sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Well, in fairness, I actually think Ken does a pretty good job of contextualizing what I was saying. Sometimes I think Lima just does it on purpose. What was the thing that we had him call in last week that I bitched at him about? It was something that we had him call in. It was
the Elijah Moore thing.
Yeah, and he said, it sounds like, which is Lima's code for, I'm not going to play the sound that actually might properly contextualize this. But I did not take this. I actually am more doing this because I thought this was really funny. So, on the morning show, they actually tracked down the sound of what I said yesterday because we do have that technology. And here was Lima's retort.
So the term must win was used by the host in question.
As close to a must win as it gets. How do you feel about that?
I feel like it did sound like I took the quote out of context. However,
have you done that before?
Never.
If you say it.
But
it,
you did use the term must and win, and you put them next to each other, and you mentioned it about a July baseball game, and you gave 1,000 reasons why it was a pretty important game. I mean, stop trying to buttress it up with anything else. It was a must win. You were thinking it was a must win. You just didn't want to say it.
You didn't want to go all the way there. You wanted to say, it's pretty
ridiculous.
Close.
You know it's ridiculous.
I just want to give Anthony Lima proper credit for being the Slippery Wizard. He was confronted with what was actually said and then still didn't take full accountability for talking and taking things out of context. I think this should go in the Smithsonian. This is, honestly, Lima missed his calling. Lima should be a senator. I've heard there might be an opening for a higher position than that in the United States government. Maybe we'll get to that tomorrow. But this was textbook Slippery Wizarding. And I'll actually be honest with you. I think Danny and he, and I'm sorry, Danny, I got to call you out on this. I think they're espousing a cliche that nobody else agrees with. I think this is the only town in America where we've all talked ourselves into 162 games don't matter. And that there is no ebb and flow in a season that matters. And I think it is. Listen to WFAN in New York sometime.
That's not a fair comparison.
You mean another town that actually talks baseball in this country? Why is it not a fair
New York's an anomaly to every other city, man.
Boston does the same thing. Boston talks all the time. LA's a bad sports town.
It is a bad sports
town. They live and die with the Dodgers during the regular season.
I don't know about that.
Well, I do because I've actually listened to the Beast out there, and they've had 75 different ones.
Yeah, but no, just because they talk about it doesn't mean anyone listens. No one listens to sports talk out there.
All right, any other towns you'd like to beat down?
No, I think if you list the top five markets in America, it's old school sports talk. That's what they do.
Well, but I think I bet you if in Milwaukee they live and die with the Brewers,
and they also like talk hockey on some of these stations, like.
Well, but I think that's the point. I think this, for some reason, we've all brainwashed each other that there aren't more important games. Listen, I think we've justified it by saying, well, at the end, you're not going to remember this specific game, which, by the way, is not always true. We actually do remember specific stretches of baseball, and we do remember crucial losses or incredible victories that jump-started things. So I just reject this idea that you can't have, and this is not even about last night. Like, it's finally time. Once you get past 20 games in a 162-game season, that's kind of when you should be dying. If you're winning at a ridiculous clip, and by the way, we saw this with the Cavs, 18-2 in 20 games. That's one quarter of the baseball season. So that means it's basically one-eighth of the baseball season that the Guardians have been struggling. So it's not actually to, and again, this is, I'm not saying this because Lima called me out for calling it a must win, even though that's not really what I said. But I think it's a perfect time to have this conversation. There absolutely are people that live and die, and I think it's a good sign. I think in general, I think we've been comatose about the Guardians for a decade. And I think a lot of it had to do with how the team was run. And this is not, this is actually not going to be a Dolan's or a front office thing. I think this is a Tito thing. I think we trusted Tito to get the most out of a team. So if they, if we said they were going to be a 90-win team and they were an 86-win team, well, there had to have been a good reason because Tito's a great manager. And I think Tito's own philosophy, I mean, Tito would lull you to sleep. And I'm not saying any of this personally, but I think Tito would lull you to sleep with, you know, it's a marathon, not a sprint. Mm-hmm. And, listen, we're going to take our time. We're going to get right. By the end of the season, we're going to be fine. And by the way, that's a valid style of leadership. But I think one of the things that has made this season so amazing is not just the fact that Stephen Vogt is antithetical to, or not, no, it's not just that the Guardians are 20 games above 500 and that they're tied once again for the best record in the American League. It's that every day you hear them, starting with Stephen Vogt, starting with Austin Hedges, starting with leadership, saying, no, we're going to treat every game like a playoff game. So do I think historically, yeah, you know, we can get into the minutiae of stuff, but the cliche was true that, you know, that's one game. Yeah, we'll get him tomorrow. I don't think that's the truth anymore.
I mean, you really think that other towns are reacting to these games like it's a football game?
Yeah, they break down the lineups in other towns. I've heard other.
Well, that's a tune out.
I think that's you.
Okay.
I think there are people who actually would like to talk about like the lineup and stuff.
Yeah, like 10 people.
You talk tennis. Who the hell are you?
I don't talk tennis on the radio.
Okay.
We have a segment about tennis. I may have 2 minutes here and there.
Okay. All right.
No, seriously. I mean, a full segment on tennis, that's happened a few times.
Okay. I believe you.
And I understand. No one cares.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. People actually do care about the Guardians in this town.
Okay. I think people care enough to go to the games. They watch the games. I don't think people are dying to talk about this baseball team.
I think this year is, and I think there is something about this team and the way they approach things that is different than the way it's gone. And I think because of that, I do think people are talking about them. I think the cliche or the rule of law that Lima is applying to last night's game or to really any stretch, I think has historically been accurate, but it's mostly been in Cleveland. There are plenty of towns in America that will, and listen, this is a sports talk is a NFL based, like the rise of this whole thing over the last 40 years is absolutely tied with the explosion of popularity of the NFL in America. No, you're not going to get any argument out of that. That being said, most baseball towns actually do talk baseball and actually do, like, there is nuance to the schedule. And we just haven't had to have nuance because Terry Francona himself was coming out and saying, yeah, it's just one game, we'll get back to it tomorrow, and by the end of the year, we're going to be confident. You actually have a team that is talking about this thing, talking about their season as if individual games do matter and stretches of games matter. I think that changes it should change the conversation. And I think if we're just falling back on old cliches, then we're not reacting to what the actual team in town is telling you. I think it does change from regime to regime. I think it does change. I'll be honest with you. I think if we didn't have a bunch of Ivy Leaguers, it might even look different. If we ever, I don't even know, do old baseball guys exist anymore? Is there anybody? Anybody?
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Hey, Bueller, do we have John Hartz anymore? Do we have Doug Melvins anymore? Do we have Tom Greaves anymore?
Just
I don't think
naming
we do.
All the old managers.
Yeah, is Hank Peters, is he still kicking around? Gabe Paul,
Charlie Manuel,
old Chucky Manuel. He's actually doing okay. He had some health issues, yeah, but I don't think he'll be don in a uniform. Dusty's still around. He's retired.
Still wearing the rubber gloves?
But, no, I mean, I think we've gotten to a point where games do matter. And here's why. Last night, in a vacuum, would not have mattered without the 21 games that preceded it.
Dude, I mean, so is it panic time now?
No, that's actually the opposite of what I'm saying. I'm saying last night, that game allows you to breathe. But the beautiful thing about where the Guardians are, as we're living
and
done.
What do you mean it allows you to breathe?
Meaning you can wait to see what they do tonight. Okay, because here's the thing, you would have panicked.
So because they won last night, they're going to play looser tonight?
No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm
saying
is...
Well, you said they have room to breathe.
No, we have room to breathe.
Oh, the fans.
Yes.
Okay.
Because if they had lost last night, it would have been Meltdown City. You lost the best pitcher in baseball two nights ago, and you would have thought that you lost to Carlos Carrasco instead of you throwing Carlos Carrasco against one of the best pitchers in baseball. Last night,
I disagree, man. I think they lose that game last night. I think people are like, oh, it stinks. It's another game. We're still in first place.
You literally accused me yesterday of having Guardians-colored glasses on because I wasn't panicking yet.
I'm not sitting here saying that I'm those people.
People.
I mean, I don't know. They've lost how many of they've lost 7 of the last 10, right?
And that sounds about right.
Roughly.
Yeah,
I think that's what I saw last time I looked at the standings.
Uh-huh.
It stinks, but it's not. They're still first place.
216-474-0092.
No one's going to call.
Well, I just don't get that perspective. Like, so should we never throw out the number
no,
again?
No, I'm just busting your chops, to be honest with you, but
it's pretty funny.
I thought it was pretty funny,
pretty
too.
Pretty funny, yeah.
Thank you. You looked at me like you wanted to kill me, and then you laughed.
That's both things can be true.
It was unintentionally funny.
Is baseball boring, obsolete?
That's not the conversation.
We're talking about the Guardians. Completely meaningless win last night over the Detroit Tigers. Meant nothing. Really, none of these games mean anything, but Jonathan called in to talk here. Jonathan, welcome to the show, buddy.
What's up, Nick? So let me tell you, as a Cleveland sports fan, there's nothing more irritating to me than when, you know, the Guardians have a big game, big win, something really good happens, and then I flip on the dial the next day, right? And they say, all right, leading off today's show, reports say, you know, Jack Conklin got an oil change this morning, and was it full synthetic or traditional? We're going to talk about that. And then,
I'd go high mileage if I was Jack, but that's just me.
And then, you know, by segment six, we're finally like, oh, by the way, the Guardians hit 9 home runs last night, set an American League record. You know, just wanted to drop that in there. Like, I will never understand. I'm 43 years old, and I will never understand a lack of love that the Cleveland baseball team gets, because they have been far and away the best, you know, franchise in this city for a long time now. And I know we're a football town. I understand that. I really do. But I just, the Guardians have done it right for a long time, and I just really wish people would allow them to be spoken on more and just try to get into it, because they're the best thing this town has, and we just kind of kick it to the curb like they're the redheaded stepchild, and it just bugs the hell out of me.
Jonathan, we appreciate you, buddy. I will say, I mean, I think when the team is a 500 team, it is tougher to talk about. I mentioned the Terry. I do think that I think the messaging from the Guardians, and it's part of Tito's managerial style. But I think it was one of the few drawbacks to having Tito here, is that they downplayed everything. And by and large, I think the organization still downplays too much. I think emotions do run high. I understand the keep it in the mentality clubhouse, but I think if we saw more emotion from baseball players, especially in this town, that's why people love Mike Napoli. It's why people absolutely stand for Josh Naylor. Because I think people react to emotion, and these Ivy League nerds, with respect, have tried to pull the emotion out of it and keep it behind closed doors. Well, okay, but then that's part of why I think baseball isn't leading off every single sports center, even though right now it's pretty much dominating sports center. But my point is, like, it is why I think football has become king, because you can't hide emotion in football. I also think some of this is attention span. Like the news,
that's a huge part of it.
Well, I just think the news cycle in baseball is so fast.
Well, everything's so fast. I mean, we live in a world where, you know, stuff is old news in an hour. How about a 20 minutes? Like if you see something and Andy Roth runs down the hallway in 3 minutes and says, Amari Cooper just restructured his deal. And you're like, yeah, Andy, we saw that 10 minutes ago.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, that's sort of the world we live in with sports. And I think with baseball, especially, Nick, you know, there's a game every night.
Mm-hmm. Well, but I think that's what makes like a 20 game stretch significant. Like when the Guardians, it's funny. I'm not saying it's not good sports talk fodder if the Guardians are winning every series. But there are, we do kind of get into just auto mode of like, cool, they're winning. I'm going to go see the games. But like, even if I'm trying to think of Brian Rocchio. All right. Brian Rocchio, 23 games ago, was not getting ethered nearly as much as he for those first 77 games. Where, by the way, he couldn't hit for bleep during those 75 games either. But if I had, if 24 games ago I had sent out, what are we doing with Rocchio? We got to send this dude to the minors. People would have said, you got a 650 winning percentage. He plays good defense. What are you talking about? There might have been few people who agree with me, by the way. Mac and I, we have the daily disparaging of Brian Rocchio off the air as much as we possibly can. But I sent it out. What's that? No, it's a times a flat circle. I'm playing into my own argument. Monday. After he struck out in the second inning and struck out looking, I tweeted out, man, we got to send this clown to AAA. What are we doing? And it was like 200 likes. So I think this plays into it, that you either have to be obscenely good to get traction, to be more than just, well, I want to go see the Guardians, or you have to go through a stretch like this. So I do think, like, if I had said, if the Guardians... Because I actually think we have started scoreboard watching. And we got into this a couple weeks ago where I wasn't quite scoreboard watching, but I could understand why people were.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is the same conversation. I think we're scoreboard watching more now because it's not just the Twins and Royals. And I made this point yesterday. I think what got people so up in arms about where the Guardians had been the last 22 games... It really didn't have much to do with the Twins and Royals gaining ground as it did. It felt like you might be slipping off the pace of the Orioles and Yankees. Although if you watch the scoreboard, they've been just where you are the last 20 games. So I think that's because now all of a sudden you don't just view two teams that you feel nothing about as your competition. You're looking at the Yankees, your teams, you're competing for assets at the deadline. But yes, I do think attention span. I think the news cycle in baseball actually still somehow goes quicker than our attention spans. And so it's harder for people to lock in.
Yeah, and also it's summertime, Nick. I think people cared more, you know, early part of the season when it was April and May, as opposed to now when people got stuff going on. You know, like you look and yeah, they've had a bad streak and you're like, oh, okay, well, in a month we'll be a little bit more locked in.
I think people are pretty locked in on the trade deadline. But I can understand that some casual fans might still not be there yet.
The deadline is one thing, and that's how far off are we exactly?
1 week.
To 4 o'clock, yep. A week?
End of July. Yes, sir.
So, I mean, yeah, people are going to be locked into that moment. But I think the everyday stuff is just, it'll come back.
So we got Solomon coming up in about 12 minutes here. So we have to get show pictures. And you ready for that?
Am I ready for that?
Yeah.
What? I don't know nothing about it.
I think we kind of have to talk about this, what we're going for. What, you know,
oh, that's easy for me. I mean, I heard you're having some issues or something.
I don't think I'm having some issues. I it's always funny to me when we have to get these professionally taken pictures because people don't pay to look at me. So it's always funny when we like gussy up and we get ready and it's like, it's going to help the salespeople. It's like, well, just play them 30 seconds of my show. Like if we're going to sell, I mean, if that's, we're trying to help the salespeople, let's just, can we give them like, do we still do like CD? Do we, what's the floppy disk? Do we have floppy disk? Can we just give them floppy disks of a great segment you and I did and just have the people listen to that, have a potential clients listen to that?
What if we want your picture on the website?
Why would you want that?
So people know who they're listening to? what they look like.
Why? Well, but we have social media now. I'm not trying
to
be
Facebook,
difficult.
Do you have Facebook, Nick?
Well, you are.
I do. Yes,
Why
sir.
Do you post pictures on there? People don't need to know what you look like.
I actually pretty much mostly use Facebook as like a remembrance thing of like I want to.
I see pictures on there.
Well, yeah, I post them to so I can have like pictures for my kids to look at when I'm 20 years gone. I think Facebook. I actually think social media in general is a really cool like testament. Yeah, well, testament that you lived, and so like anything that I want to go on there, either is a funny story or a funny something or a fun picture, so that you know 30 years from now my kids will realize I wasn't just the a-hole that yelled at them a lot.
Yeah, I was thinking about that all the time. I mean, do you want your accounts to stay up when you're dead?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll still go to my dad's. My dad's been gone 11
Man,
years.
Man, I got a lot of takes on Twitter that I don't know that I want to live on.
That's why, nobody wants to be remembered for their Twitter. Can you imagine if, like, Lincoln or John Wilkes Booth had Twitter 200-some years ago? Nobody, and it's not 200 years yet, 160 years ago?
I'm sure I said something 10 years ago that in 20 years will be offensive.
Well, why don't you just delete, like, I've done the thing, like...
Like the purge, like the last year, like... You only leave the last year.
Yeah,
can you do that? Is there an app for that?
You can.
You
yeah,
into apps?
Yeah, is that an app thing? You can go into a lot of those things. Yeah. You can. Yeah. No. Nobody.
They got a site for that?
Instagram, Facebook. That's where we want to be remembered. Twitter never happened.
Yeah, I don't have Facebook.
Never happened. Never ever happened.
I have a LinkedIn account that I check once every 6 months.
Yeah, I like to check it once a week just to see that nothing has happened.
I just like to check in and see everybody congratulating me on my 1 year work anniversary.
Yeah.
Every year. Why?
Because it's an anniversary.
It's like the only time I go in there. I see all these congratulations. Thank you.
Well, I know why I got it. Now I don't know why I have it.
I don't need it.
But I don't even have a professional picture for that one. Let's go with Pat. Pat, welcome to the show.
Yeah. Hey guys. Just calling in. I don't really understand why Dustin doesn't feel like Guardians fans are locked in. Mm. This has been one of the most exciting baseball seasons I can remember.
I think the diehards, and you sound like a diehard, Pat. I think that those folks are locked in. I'm saying, but that's a small percentage of our listening audience.
It is a small percentage, but for the people that are listening to sports talk radio at 3 o'clock, you know, as opposed to any of the other million options we have, like we do want to hear the nuanced things that are going on with Guardians baseball. We don't want to just talk about box score and, hey, we got 60 more games and we'll see where we land. I think we actually want to talk ball.
Pat, I'm going to give you a chance, buddy. Do you want Rocchio to get another crack at shortstop, or would you like to see him at AAA?
I'm ready for him to go back to AAA. I think that experiment's over.
All right, one more here. How much you got riding on the next 5 games for the Guardians? Like, are you putting stock in the next 5 games if they go 4-1 versus if they go 1-4?
No, I'm not. My plan, the game where I'm looking at the scores with, you know, Minnesota and Kansas City, sure, but I'm not putting stock on it, but I'm certainly locked in, and, you know, it's definitely big to get a win last night.
Pat, we appreciate you, buddy. Real quick, Dusty, any retort to Pat now on air?
No, I have no problem with Pat.
All right. I want to make sure everybody's
I just
good.
Told him. I said, I'm sure he sounds like one of the diehards, and those folks out there, there's a lot of them, but not a ton.
I think there's way more than anybody wants to give credit for. Mostly, okay. I think people have started to speak their own personal experience as to speak for a lot of people. And I think the thing I've learned most since being back is we are a very rich community of a lot of different interests, personalities, and that anybody trying to be the voice of Cleveland or speak in generalities about this town probably is wrong in one way or another.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.